Tommy Gill. I was kind of surprised this morning. I didn't even recognize him. All that facial hair and everything, this big old guy standing there. Well, who is that? But anyhow, please give him your kind attention.
All right. I don't know how many of you believe in coincidences anymore. I sure don't. Wednesday, before coming to church, I'll back up. Before going on my two-week trip with Joel up into the Northwest, Adam had said that when I get back, he wanted me to preach. And so we got back Tuesday, and Wednesday before coming to church, about 2 hours before coming to church, this idea comes to my mind. And I get up and start writing it down. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh, was I supposed to preach tonight? Of course, there were other plans already. And he asked me yesterday, I think it was, if I could preach tonight. And I said, well, God gave me something. Coming this morning to church, sitting here in the Sunday school, and during our Brother Gordon's sermon, I started chuckling. I don't know if Natasha noticed sitting beside me, because I don't believe in coincidences. One of the things that stood out in the Sunday school was the description of how great and massive the Roman Catholic Church is. There in Honduras, before coming up, we had just finished Mark Twain's book, what's it called? Innocence Abroad. And he goes through and he describes what St. Peter's Cathedral is. And his description is almost unbelievable. He said there was this tale of a papal army that went to the cathedral to get a blessing. And the commander was late. And he came into the St. Peter's Cathedral and he thought the army had left him behind because he couldn't find them. 7,000 man army. That's how big the cathedral is. And of course, when he's describing it, of course, he goes through various different ways of describing it. Very good book to read. All I can think of is Lehi's vision and that grand and spacious building. And then our brother in the Sunday school this morning was discussing how wealthy she is. The unimaginable wealth. And our brother, in his sermon, he was talking about, read a lot there in Jacob chapter 3, about the beginning of the church and the time coming up until now, where they were pruning, they were digging, they were preparing, they were grafting in, and they were laboring with their might. And it's just kind of interesting, and of course we sing this song, Stand Up for Jesus, 141, and all just kind of dovetails, our brother used that this morning, into what God gave me Wednesday. And so I want to start out reading a verse in John, chapter 3. Everybody should know this verse, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the central point of what God's doing on the earth. If you actually look at the Greek word where it says he gave, it's to grant a gift or to furnish. As he furnished Abraham a sacrifice on the mountain. That's what his son was for us. That sacrifice. The word believeth is be persuaded of or to place confidence in. Whosoever is persuaded of and places their confidence in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He who was furnished from the beginning a gift to man. This is the focal point of all time, you know, all history. Our brother talked about our purpose. And I want to read a passage in Daniel. And many times I know this passage has been read. Some probably can repeat it verbatim. Daniel 2. And I want to read two verses, just 34 and 35. Thou sawest that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Everyone here believes that we're that stone, right? Jesus is that stone, the foundation of the church. That great mountain is his kingdom on the earth. I do not believe that this is something he does. It says that the mountain grew and filled the whole earth. He is just the foundation upon which we grow. And so in order for this growth to take place, what do we have to do? What is required of us? I want to read a couple of verses in Matthew 8. Matthew 8, 18 to 20. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Great desire to serve. And Jesus' response? And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Are we willing to follow our Master? Read the next two verses. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Harsh words. Painful words even. But I think he was pointing something out to them. That mountain needs to grow. How can the mountain grow if we don't do our part? I can see throughout time, our brother mentioned this morning, the different places where the gospel has started to grow. New growth, and I believe those places that God planted trees. But it's still missing something. And what it's missing is this big picture of Daniel. It would grow and encompass the earth. I don't know how many of you have thought the big picture. Brother Jay, a couple weeks ago in his sermon before Joel and I left, he mentioned a group of Chinese, what was it, 384 million? That are not happy. Let's take a small number. You can do it right here in your own city. What would you do? 5,000 converts tomorrow, like at the day of Pentecost. I mean, logistically, what would you do? This is the big picture. Joel and I had a wonderful meeting with somebody on our trip. And afterwards, I asked Joel the question, is this God showing us I could do this? A door that I don't know that we could walk through because it's so big. Yet when we read about this rock that was cut without hands, such a small thing to take down an entire statue. Not only take it down, crush it, mill it into dust. That's the power of our God. But what do we do? What do each one of us do? Let's go to 2 Nephi chapter 14. And I'm going to start in verse 1. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after that ye have entered in by the way. Isn't that what we're pondering right now? But behold, why do ye ponder these things in your heart? Do ye not remember that I said unto you, that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? And now, how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things that ye should do. Wherefore, Now after that, I have spoken these words. If ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore, ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things that ye should do. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ. And there will be no more doctrine given until after that he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh. And when he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh, the things which he shall say unto you shall ye observe to do. So those words in Matthew, are those the words that we're supposed to do? The passages in Jacob that our brother read in the morning, those servants who are called to labor with their might, is that what we're supposed to do? Always remember the goal of our Lord. And the goal is that stone which became the foundation and the mountain which filled the whole earth. So let's just talk a little bit about, you know, what kind of part could you have in that? It's a daunting thing to think about, I know. So let's consider a few people in the Book of Mormon. Mosiah, king of the Nephites, getting old, wise enough man that he knew that a king wasn't a good thing, really. And when you actually think about it logically, one person at the top controlling everything that happens underneath is very limiting to how much it can grow if he's making all the decisions. And so he helps the Nephites transition into a new government. A government which can all of a sudden expand and grow far beyond what one man can control. And if you read from that point on, it's obvious that the Nephites expand incredibly after that. That was the part he played in his time. Not everything we do in the kingdom of heaven that we're looking to build is going to be spiritual preaching. Children need to be taught. People need to be taught how to live with one another. There are lots of things that need to be done. And of course, at the same time, we have Alma, who became the first head judge. And continually strengthening and feeding the flock as the high priest of the church. He came to a point that he knew he couldn't do both jobs anymore. He had to give the one up because it was too much. So he gave it up and he started strengthening the church with all his might. And he saved part of a city because of his willingness to do that. Not all the Zoramites were destroyed. Part of them were saved. The sons of Mosiah, same time period, they sacrificed everything. All their wealth. All the power they could have had of being king. The comfort of living, not only as a king or a prince, as a Nephite with their friends, families. They sacrificed that. They sacrificed their health. And how much more? 16 years. They were in the land of the Lamanites. Instruments in the hands of God. Saving tens or hundreds of thousands. And nowhere do we have anything that said that they were even ministers at that time. What we have is, we have the writing of their father saying that they could not even stand. They could not stomach, however you want to put it, that people would have to go to hell because they did not know. They labored with all their might. So when I think of that passage in Daniel, the mountain growing, what part do I play? What part do you play? I want to go back and read. Right back in there, 2 Nephi 14, verse 6. I want to read it again. For behold, again I say unto you, that if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things what ye should do. How many times did Christ say, I do nothing except the Father tells me? How do we know? Well, if you just read the verse before it, verse 5, wherefore now after that I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not. Neither do ye knock, wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. He very plainly said, if you don't know, if God's not telling you what you need to be doing, it's because you have not asked. That simple. And maybe he tells you, take care of your family. Maybe he tells you, continue working at your job, paying your tithing, so that others can go out and work. Not everybody in the time of Mosiah were the sons of Mosiah or Alma. And a question that comes to my mind when I read that verse 5, you must perish in the dark. If you are in that dark place of unknowing what you should be doing, do you think you'll be found blameless before God if you stay there? We can read in James 4, 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If what I've said is good, then each of us should walk out of here tonight and do it. Easy it is to allow the world to interrupt your good desires. But again, I come back to that question. Will you be found blameless? In 2 Peter 3:14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. The word diligent, of course, here means to exert oneself. Again, very much like in that Jacob chapter 3, doing it with all your might. Sometimes it's hard. I seem to remember a prophet that forgot his duties for several years. He didn't pray. And then God came to him, told him to go up the mountain. So like a good son, he went up the mountain and received 3 hours of chastisement. I've been chastised by my mom, my dad, grandpa, grandma. I don't think my mom ever made 3 hours. I don't even know what you would say for 3 hours chastising somebody. I can't even imagine that. So even prophets make mistakes. We all make mistakes. The question is, what do we do now? And I actually want to go to that passage in Jacob chapter 3. And I'm going to start in verse 136. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant. And the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants, and they were few. And the Lord of the vineyard saith unto them, go to and labor in the vineyard with all your mights, with your might. For behold, this is the last time that I nourish my vineyard. For the time is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if ye labor with your mights with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit, which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which soon come. So here I just read the commandment. This commandment has a promise attached to it for us, if we but follow it. But just think for a moment. Think of it the way the sons of Mosiah thought of it. How many people around us will be lost? If we don't speak out. Now, there in Honduras, Joel mentioned, there in our valley where we live, I think we've probably gone to every small village in the whole valley, probably every small village within about 30 miles of where we live, or more, and some much farther away. I'm sure that most anybody my age, older, know us. They probably heard Ronnie or my dad or Don or somebody else preach. And it's easy to say, you know, we did our part. But then I have to think about that for a moment. It's probably been 10, 15 years in some of those towns. Little babies are young adults now. Maybe it's time to do another lap going throughout all those towns. And I look at all of your neighbors around you. How many neighbors do you have who are original when you all moved here, when this local began? I'm going to continue reading here in Jacob 3, 140. And it came to pass that the servants did go to it and labor with their mights. And the Lord of the vineyard labored also with them. And they did obey the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard in all things. And there began to be the natural fruit again in the vineyard. And the natural branches began to grow and thrive exceedingly. I've seen something that started to happen in the world. I don't know if you've taken note. Did you know that last year there were less abortions than the year Roe versus Wade was decided? It's been continually dropping for almost a decade now. God has been working in the world. God has, this verse right here said that he's out there working with us. He has been pruning. He has been preparing souls of men and women all around the world. And there began to be the natural fruit of the vineyard. And the natural branches began to grow and thrive exceedingly. And the wild branches began to be plucked off and to be cast away. And they did keep the root and the top thereof equal according to the strength thereof. All these skirmishes of Russia, Ukraine. I mean, you can name probably a dozen in the past decade. What do you think they were? The Lord destroying the wicked with the wicked. That's what they were. The Lord is doing his work in the world, preparing the hearts of men. 12th chapter, 2 Nephi says that the Lord will cause a great division among all nations, peoples, tongues. Look at the division in the U.S. There is no middle ground anymore, almost. And the same division exists throughout the whole world. That mist of darkness is being removed from off the face of the earth, and men will have to choose on which side they stand. The question is, are we ready? Are we ready for that day, like at the day of Pentecost, to have 5,000 converts here in Phoenix in one day. Are we ready for the big picture? Verse 143, and thus they labored with all diligence, according to the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard, even until the bad had been cast away out of the vineyard, and the Lord had preserved unto him that the trees had become again the natural fruit. And they became like unto one body, and the fruit were equal. And the Lord of the vineyard had preserved unto himself the natural fruit, which was most precious unto him from the beginning. There's the fulfilling of that passage in Daniel 2. That mountain encompassing the earth. Or in 2 Nephi chapter 12, the lion laying down with the lamb. Nations not fighting against nations. So here's the hard question. Are we the goats? That's the hard question. In the end, obviously, only Jesus can make that decision. But I believe that each one of us knows in our heart, if you truly look. If, like it said there in Nephi, if you truly knock and ask. Go ahead, try it. Go home tonight. Ask with true sincerity of heart, what can I do? But only do it if you're willing to listen. Because I know he'll answer if you truly want to know. I know he'll tell you what you can do. And sometimes what he says sounds absurd. Like, go to another country and help some refugees in a refugee camp. Like he told my parents 27 years ago. Sorry, 37 years ago. And look what's happened. Look what's come of it. Three locals. Was not an easy thing for my parents to do. There was ridicule. There was people saying that it was not a wise thing to take your children. And yet here we are. What can you do to make a difference? How can you help that kingdom grow? That's the question I leave with you.